Blog Talk Radio.
Going on in your compass bagua, and So to find out your personal health direction, for instance, you would find out your QA number, because everyone has a personal QA number as well. And then you can work with your compass health direction if you need something like that, or wealth. And hey, how about love? That's also in the Bagua. And the Bagua has 8 sides. And remember, there are 12 animals that sit around the Bagua. And so the 12 animals, as one of the 12 animals, let's use the rat, since it's a rat day. And sometimes we call the rat the mouse. And the rat or the mouse has a compass direction in the north. And this is going to be a kind of an easy one, because the rat doesn't share this compass direction. The cardinal directions don't share. That animal that is on those is the only one. The cross directions share. There's 2 animals in each of those. So the rat sits in the north. And in the north, there's also in the compass wheel of the 5 elements, the water is in the north. So this is how, if you were born in that year, you would know that that's kind of your home element, no matter what other element you were personally born with, because it might not be water. It might be one of the other 4 elements. So that's why you want to get a personal, you want to type your birthday in is what you want to do. And there are some online free ones, or you can get a consultation. Email pathfinder1111@gmail.com, and we can set that up. We can set it up in a lot of different ways online, and it's super fun. And we go through the annual low shoe with the 9 in the center. Find your animal where that is in the compass direction, and let's talk about the rat in the north right now for the annual sitting on. We talked about this a couple shows back. The number 5 star, which is a star that is in need of curing. We cure this star. It is called the disaster star. So remember, we're in right now, the middle star, number 1, was called the victory star, the number 1 star. These all have a name, and they're vibrations of what they kind of bring. Now, disaster is obviously something that we want to cure. We can't put it back together better after that. And so there's a later on thing with this star. It doesn't just stay there like that. But we do be mindful, and we do cure it. And so since water is the home element in the north, and the number 5 flew there, we would want to cure the north with a couple of different elemental things, and one of them is to remove the earth element from there, because the 5 carries the earth element with it. So if we could weaken that just a little bit, it wouldn't be so disastrous. And this is sort of feng shui talking and what that would vibrationally do in the north. So if you have your beautiful crystals or something that clay pots in the north or whatever, and things are disastrous in your life, remove them from the north. And this is practicing feng shui. And that is one of the cures that we would do, for instance. And right now it's time for our feng shui food tip for today. And we're going to talk about trying something new. New, you say. Well, you know, if you have a tried and true thing that you always do every time you get to the gym, or every time you get 10 minutes to exercise, and you always do this thing and you always do that thing, it's time to try something new. And maybe it's a different body part that you're going to work out differently. But it's a definite, even if you're going to work out the same body part, you're going to do a new, and you're going to research this, new exercise for it. Try something new, because our bodies are magical, and our bodies adapt to pretty much, almost everything. And so if you keep doing the same thing, you're not going to get those bang out results all the time unless you switch it up sometimes. Let's try something new. And that's your Feng Shui Fit Tip for today. And we have more Pathfinder help for our spring, because I hear our spring needs help, Pathfinder. Help.
What help does our spring need?
I think Mother Earth needs spring help.
Okay. Hola. Tzi natana nunahisa sustiga. Miedo chunku woksapi wichasha. So I said hello in Spanish, and then my name in Cherokee, and then also in Lakota. I want to extend love and blessings. Ask for the grandmothers and grandfathers to extend love and blessings across the world. Today we're talking about the stone nations of these 28 universal powers. We're starting to get pretty far along amongst the 28. We're on number 23, it looks like. And indeed, there's full bloom out here in the desert, to the point where the breathing's a little bit different. You could probably tell by the singing and just the general speaking that we've been doing. But we want to say hello to everybody. Blessings and love. Blessings and love. Keep your heads up. Continue to protect your hearts. Let your light shine. It says shine your light at least in yourself and in your home, in your garden, in your immediate environment. And carry a big stick. And the big stick is for those that might want to mess with your lights. Keep your light bright and clean. We have more than enough challenges just in the universe around us. And so as one of my friends, one of my Sifu friends said, the bear belongs outside. Don't let him in the house. Don't let the circus bear in the house. They're farm animals. Leave them outside. That's Master Hada. So protect yourself and hold your light strong, and the Stone Nation will assist us in this as well. So one of the very first altars and practices among the indigenous peoples, including the Native American tribes, is the stone altar, working with the stone nation, the mineral nations. It has such a lot of songs and a lot of practices that are very simple in some ways, and then they get complex in others, and many different perspectives. It says as many tribes are in North America, that's how many perspectives there probably are. And even though I was thinking about this, it's like, okay, so I have this kind of YouTube buddy. I think I'm more of a buddy to him than he is to me, maybe, but that's okay. And that's David Little Elk. And he'll talk about a topic and swear that it's you know, something different than what most other indigenous cultures view. But when you listen to him, he'll in the end, it'll be very similar to what the others, but just from different perspectives. So in other words, the pathway that we take to understanding can be very different and still yield basically the same answer. So I was researching a little bit about the Wanagi, which is the ghost. And among the Lakota, their stories about ghosts are humorous, because in their belief system, the personality is connected to the body and doesn't live once the body is gone. And so all you have is soul. And so then there really aren't ghosts in their world like that. But it turns out if you flip it around and look at it in a different way, they do have them. So what we're talking about here is kind of the stone's reality, the reality of the stone nation, and then we have the clay nation, we have the crystal nation, and then we have like the continent nation, that is the continental shelves and the turtle's back. And in the stone nation's point of view, everything is unified. And the law of the stone nation is what goes around comes around. And so it's a very karma dharma situation. In fact, that's what the medicine people that help bring together this collection of the 28 universal powers said, is that with the stone nation, what goes around comes around. And so this is very much also what we see amongst many of the religions, including the Christianity, where they say, do unto others as you would have it done unto you. What goes around comes around. And so when we put out something good, the universe provides at least three times that goodness back. And if we put out something that's divisive, then guess what? We get that back at least three times. Some cultures say three, some say four. Some say, oh, it's just one-to-one. Some go as far as say, oh, it's you're going to get it back 12 times. But anyway, what we put out, we get back. And this is one of the fundamentals of the Stone Nation. Now, in other words, when you live your life, treat the outside of you at better, let's say better, or just as good as you treat the inside of you. And in this way, you're speaking to the universe. This is you as a stone speaking to the universe about what you want. What you want, you magnetize to yourself, and you do so especially through actions and words and even thoughts. Now, if we were a stone sitting there and we were conscious, as the stone nations are in their own particular way, we would understand that thought is action, that the brain waves are a thing. And so literally, what we think, what we do, what we feel, these are all actions. If we truly want to find the peace and stillness of the Stone Nation, we have to go into the meditation and find the sacred silence. And when we are in the sacred silence, we are at peace with the Thunder and Lightning Nation. And so there is a great affinity and tie of the Stone Nation and the Thunder and Lightning Nation. As well as many other spiritual gifts and affinities that work with the Stone Nation, like the spiritual grandmothers and grandfathers. In fact, if we look in the Lakota at the word for grandfather, it is Tunkashala, okay? And if we look at the beginning of the word, Tunka is the word for stone. And so when they're saying Tunkashala, for the sacred grandfathers, they're acknowledging the oneness of the Stone Nation in that original expression of the sacred. Now, many of the tribes talk about evolution and growth and ancientness of Mother Earth. And with this, we say that the first relatives of life upon Mother Earth are the rock and stone nations. They are the oldest children of Mother Earth. And then much later, plants, and then trees, and then the animal nations, and then the human nations. And then actually predating all of us are the spirit nations, to tell you the truth. The spirit nations and the stone nations, they're very close from the beginnings of time. And for this reason, the Stone Nations are known as the Wisdom Keepers, because they've been perceiving and recording the histories and the informations and the unfoldments and the revolutions in knowledge since physical creation. And for this reason, the stone, the rock, the crystal, the mineral form, and this even includes metal some, they have the record of our ancient history. And so if within the silence and meditation we're working with the Stone Nation, there are ways to discover these ancient histories. And so literally, the Stone Nation is a part of us. The Stone Nation are wisdom keepers, their original protectors, and they're even the ground upon which we stand. Now, it's very often in the indigenous practices to have a friend that's a stone that, you know, you have in your home or you carry around with you. And this is because we were them at one point. In the evolution of our own soul or our own spiritual growth over time and millennia and different life incarnations, one of the first places that we learned in classroom was as a mineral. We were a stone nation and got to learn what it's like to be at that basic elemental level of life, learning the exchanges of electricity and sound and breath and water, the very, very basics. And yet it turns out that the original stone in Lakota Ia, this is, they talk about creation, this is part of their creation story, is that back a long time ago, what existed was one stone, and this is probably really, really big. And because the Creator, through this stone, said, I'm not quite going to get the words the way a Lakota scholar would put them, but I'm going to work on it a little bit. This, like in other creation stories, at the beginning, there was a desire for family. There was a desire for companionship. There was a desire for life to go out across a vast emptiness. And so the original Stone Nation bled, and in its bleeding, filled and created the universes. And this is very similar to the stories of the Medicine Buddha, that way, way back in time, the Medicine Buddha bled. And in the bleeding of this purple and gold healing Buddha, that we had the creation of the lapis lazuli stone. And this went out across creation, bringing wisdom and healing. And this is the same thought of our original ancestor, this ancient stone nation who bled in order for life to come about. And so even to this day, many of the medicine men and maybe the medicine women, you know, so sometimes things are a little gender associated. Like for instance, the eagle feather, they say, belongs to the man, and the eagle plume belongs to the woman. And so it might not be exactly the same for both sexes. But some of the medicine men work so closely with these stone nations, especially the round stone nations that work with the Wahokpi, that these stones are not only in their possession, like in a bundle or a medicine bag, but these stones live inside them. And then work miracles through them, because again, the Stone Nation is very much connected to the thunder and lightning, It's very much connected to time and space and how to work with that, as in Hon Shaze Shonen for the Reiki enthusiasts. And the Stone Nation has a great affinity to the spirit light people that we call the Wahokpi, which are also often little round lights. Sometimes they're just little flashes of lights, but they're often also little balls of light that can do things. And this Wahokpi Nation is very much tied to the Stone Nation. If we think of the dynamics of a star, like our own sun, we know there's something very powerful going on inside that we can't really see, and we feel the emanation coming off of the sun. Well, this is like a stone that's set in the desert sun that has collected all that heat up and is radiating it out. And yet in the center of that stone is the process that's similar to the yin-yang. You have the active and the passive portal gate that touches other dimensions. There are many medicines that the Stone Nation can afford us if we live in a certain way as prescribed by both the stone, the spirit nations, and our own culture. But in general, we can utilize the stones to help us to ground, to help us to have a firm foundation for meditation, to keep our water clean, particularly, let's say, the shungite crystal or the quartz crystal. But what's important in working with the Stone Nation is that we approach them with the innocence of heart and truthfulness. Because in their world, everything is not black and white. Everything is white. In other words, it's all just the light of truth. And so when we're coming to all the mineral nations from this place of innocent truth, gifts of the universe are offered to us.
Hello, Pathfinder. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Aloha Healers Network. We enjoy spending this time with you, and we are planning to spend lots more and lots of different ways with you. Woohoo! And rock and roll, Stone Nation. Let's close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
We're still alive.